Let's do it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, yeah. It's a private Saturday. African-American Empowerment Saturday. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome. And of course, coming to you live, we got Dr. Bruce in the house. Brother George, Willie Lynch, Kwanzaa segment. And we got Brother Booker with being the one. You don't want to miss it. Call somebody. It's family time.
That's what I got.
Sisters, there's no greater love. Welcome, brothers and sisters, to African American Empowerment Saturday. It's the show for you, right? For our people. Probably wondering why I say, oh, yeah, oh, oh, yeah, at the beginning and end of each show, because we're here, right? And the plan was for us never to be here functioning, right? Even in our dysfunctional state, the plan was for us to simply be enslaved mentally, physically, emotionally for perpetuity. You don't know what that means. It means forever, right? In bondage and in servitude to another group of human beings. That's not how it's going to be as we continue to recover and heal our minds and our hearts. Condition of the enslavement and the mental side has been going on with the for our people. We have to do the work now of rectifying that, right? We had to do the work of beginning to individualize each of our own situations and then figuring out what we need to do to improve ourselves mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, culturally, and so on and so forth. But the work has to be done. How do we do that? We're going to do that through the peace concept, right? So you're asking, what's the peace concept, Marvin? The peace concept are strategies that we can utilize individually and collectively to make progress within ourselves, right? So we're not blaming anybody. We're not getting on here talking about how horrible people are. No, we're saying we need some improvements, and this is how we're going to do it. So we start with the process with P. We need a political agenda, right? We need to understand, teach, train, and develop politics and how politics work, right? The system of governance and how it works, the methods and the strategies that's being used in order to understand how we can effectively navigate the system. It's simple as that. Learn the political structure, right, and how things work so that we can begin to get the benefits, right, of being here, right? Because if we use the tools while we're here, I know some brothers and sisters be like, nah, man, we just need to go or we need to tear it down. But for many of us who are still functioning in this system, if you're going to work every day, you need to have an agenda for your kids if you're going to live here. That's how I see it, right? So you need a political agenda. You need to understand the laws and the legal system and how to navigate and create strategies to keep us out of mass incarceration, right? We're making choices. And so the more that we can educate our people on the choices of whys and the why nots to the system, right, and the strategy, for example, the school-to-prison pipeline, right? How do we begin to create a new pipeline, right, where our people just don't go that route anymore? But it's going to be up to us to develop those strategies. Next is economics. That's the E. I'm spelling peace. Economic development, right? Understanding the economic system and how money management works, the system for money management, how to utilize the dollar, how effective the dollar can be for building community and infrastructure for institutions that define our own reality. That's our work to educate and improve ourselves. And we must do that work, right? This is the most critical part in my mind of being able to develop these strategies and get them into the communities and get them ingrained into our culture where we begin to function like many other cultures, right, and many other communities that work together. And that's what we have to do. We have to understand money management, but also capitalism and how it works. Next is the A. This is personal, so you can point to yourself right now and say, I need to get my A together. Athletics, health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, mental health, physical health, and emotional health. Focus on yourself and improving the areas that you need to work on within yourself. Whatever that is, you know, and that's the work that you need to do on an individual level. If you need to push back from the table, right? Many of us are out of weight, overweight, and out of shape, right? Many of us are dealing with health issues, and that's okay, but can you work to improve your status with your own mental health, with your own physical health, and with your own emotional health? That's the individual work that must be done. So you got to work on improving yourself every day, right? Your diet is important. What you put in your body matters. So you want to continue to do the work of working on yourself. And now, see, relevant cultural programs like this one that educate you, right? So you don't get secondhand information. We're bringing experts on, and we're giving community-based stories to get you to understand how important culture is, because culture is vitally important to a group who's been marginalized like we have. And so we're going to have to be able to develop effective cultural tools, right, to help us get positive, right? Chin up, chest out, very positive, feeling good about who we are wherever we go. So when they see us, they go, oh, that's them. Now, like, here they come. No, we want to be able to now shine that light to say, when we show up, somebody's coming, and it's us, because we're going to develop ourselves in that manner. And lastly, it's education. It is a comprehensive education that really looks at all of these areas and other ways in which we can improve ourselves, whether it's forums, workshops, strategy sessions, improving our men and women relationships. All of those things really matter. Parenting, number one. And how do we continue to be effective at doing that? That those systems and those methods are strictly for us, and they work for us. It's now coming up on the Stan Macklin Moment, and we'll be right back in just a minute. Don't go away. And thank you for listening to African American Empowerment Saturday. It's 365 days.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, man, we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in. This is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
Those are the pillars. Brother Stan is so right. Stop trying to get in and fit in. Create your own reality. Institutions that define our own reality. Schools, institutions, libraries, businesses, right? Corporations that function for us, that create jobs and opportunity for ourselves. We can do it. All we have to do is do the work, but we have to do that work collectively. And that work must be done. And it must be done by us, with us, and for us. And now, it's my favorite segment, Swilly Lynch and Kwanzaa segment with my brother George coming right up. Oh, yeah. Brother George, bring it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Hey. Hey, Mom.
Bring it. What?
George, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, brother. And thank you for the introduction. I love it. I always love it.
Rocking over there.
Today's Kwanzaa principle from the Ibuza Saba is the mind with faith. To believe with all our hearts in our parents, our teachers, our leaders, our people, in the righteousness and victory of our struggle. That's a powerful statement, brother. And community. That's a powerful statement. Imani, one of the most important and meaningful of the Adinkra symbols, Jai Yam, is simply translated, accept God. One interpretation is, no one has seen this world from its beginning, and no one will see its end, except God. It is symbolic of the spirit within each of us, through which we can elevate ourselves to a new level of consciousness and self-actualization. It is symbolic of the spirit within each of us, through which we can elevate ourselves to a new level of consciousness and self-actualization. Iman. Now today, once again, I'm going from, this is an interesting little book that was written so long ago and, you know, just addresses the basic human characteristics that many of us have difficulty with in this day. And I'm reading again from the teachings of Pecahontas, the oldest book in the world. And this was put together by Dr. Asa Hilliard and Larry Williams and Nia DeMaso. And actually, you know, this a lot of these little books, all of them, were I was inspired to get them through Dr. Bridges Bookstore many years ago. And so I have to really credit him for the library that I have. And without him in my life, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have all this knowledge and information, and I wouldn't have access to him as well. And so I look forward to what he has to say this afternoon. Now, from this book, help your friends with things that you have, for you have these things by the grace of God. If you fail to help your friends, one will say you have a selfish cop. One plans for tomorrow, but you do not know what tomorrow will bring. The right soul is the soul by which one is sustained. If you do praiseworthy deeds, your friends will say, welcome in the time of need. Don't repeat slander, nor should you even listen to it. It is the spouting of the hot-bellied. Just report a thing that has been observed, not something that has been heard secondhand. If it is something negligible, don't even say anything. He who is standing before you will recognize your worth. Slander is like a terrible dream against which one covers the face. And I'm pretty sure that what they're talking about is gossip, which is something that I've never liked. You know, I've never liked gossiping. And especially amongst men, you know. And so they were addressing that issue way back then. And I guess, you know, we're still addressing it to this day. So hopefully, you know, we can begin to focus on things that are more important than gossip, and focus on the quintessence of, you know, the individual, of our people, and pass those things on. So, Brother Marvin, thank you for the time. Back to you.
All right. That's a important one, right? Let's stop talking about each other. Let's stop gossiping and come together and be kind and generous and rightful with each other, if I can use that word. All right. Thank you, Brother George, for that. And now it's the empowerment question of the week. Here it is, Brother George. It's the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment, important to our people.
Yes, sir. The segments are important because, one, my Laranga took a great deal of time along with his compadres to put that system together, to go back and study and give our people something of substance to rely on each day. And the Willie Lynch segment is important because the Willie Lynch process itself was designed to take us out of our natural state, which was to be inquisitive, to research, to improve the condition of mankind in this life that we understand. And we were great contributors to that. And through Willie Lynch, through that process, we've become hardly a thought. And so we have to get back to who we once were and who we still are in our DNA. And so that's why I say, you know, it's important, bro. I'm, you know, looking forward to Dr. Bridges.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. It's important for us to be contributors now, right? Producers of positive energy and positive thought in our communities, in our households, in our families, right? And in our relationships with one another. Let's continue to put the network of positive energy together that spans across families and then work through generations, right? We've done it before, and we don't have to necessarily look to replicate what our ancestors did. We can produce our own products and our own realities, but we got to start with ourselves first, being as positive and productive as we can and working to disrupt the programs that are lodged inside of our consciousness as we continue to move forward in a mindset that is productive, is peaceful, positive, and developmental. We have to do that work of working on ourselves, and it's up to us to do that. Again, change starts with you, and then it works toward the external part of you, but you got to do the work of working on yourself, and that is the good news. So continue to do that, right? It's Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment. It's all about education on the African American Empowerment Show and Network, and we continue to do that work of working on ourselves. And now, before we go any further, we're going to go to the one and then to Dr. Bruce immediately following being the one with Brother Booker. Let's do it. Let's go. Let's get it started. Oh, yeah. Come on, Brother Booker. Crank it. Up. Oh, yeah. Bring it. Brother Booker, welcome to the show.
Brother Marvin, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, brother. And as always, to all the brothers and sisters within the sound of my voice, peace be unto you. Let me just wrap up the one qualities this week so we can get on to Dr. Bruce. We're down to number 10, the last one, and I'm going to recap them all. Number one is the one is honest with himself. Number two, the one loves himself. Number three, the one loves his people. Number four, the one believes in himself. Number five, the one believes in his people, even if they don't believe in themselves. Number six, the one always stands for what he knows is right, even if he has to stand alone. Number seven, the one loves for his brother what he loves for himself. The one is a great communicator, and he knows how to listen. The one is not afraid to die for what is right. And number 10, the one would rather serve in heaven than to rule in hell. Basically meaning the one would rather serve in peace, love, and happiness than to rule in chaos, than to rule in confusion. Than to rule in lying, stealing, murdering, so forth. The one would rather serve in hell. And that's number 10, brother. And basically, as we talked earlier today in another conversation, to be the one is to be God. And I think we must stop separating ourselves from God, because if you're going to teach me and teach our children and teach our people that we are children of God, then what would God reproduce if not himself? He didn't reproduce no toys, no minions or something he can play with or no playthings. God reproduces himself. See what I'm saying? So if I'm God, what am I going to reproduce if not myself? Be the one. Be the God you are, the God that's in you. Thank you, brother, for the opportunity.
All right,
as
Brother
always.
Booker.
Peace, brother.
I like it. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Be the one. That's the work that needs to be done. Be the one. 845-277-9250. Let me slow it down. 845-277-9250. Slido is in effect today. It's 572-6624. 724. Get on out there to Slido. Put your comments out there, or you can call the direct line and talk to myself, Brother George, or Dr. Bruce on the line. And now, without further delay, it's our brother. He's back. Dr. Bruce speaks, and he is ready, willing, and able. Dr. Bruce, time for you to do. Oh, yeah. Bring it. Welcome.
Bring it. What?
Dr. Bruce.
Yes, sir. Hotel Marvin, and to all the listeners on the National African American Empowerment Program, and to all your new listeners, and to some I've called and texted and asked them to tune in. Hopefully they're there. And call a friend. Call some people you may know, or text them you may know, and have them to tune in. And you might want to get a pencil and a pad, because I'm going to give out some information today that I think is very, very important. And based upon many of the current events, Brother Marvin, that we've been hearing and seeing on television and on the news, and from that European white perspective, we're going to try to put some of this thing, this information, in the context of black people and our struggles in the world. And, you know, we were talking, oh, and by the way, yeah, there's a brother I want to send a shout out to. I told him I would. I didn't want to forget. I almost forgot. It was good. I wrote it down and put an asterisk by it. Brother Abdullah Shabazz, a brother, and he'll probably call in later on in the program, but he's a brother I met many years ago at, he was a student at the American Muslim Teachers College. And I happen to have been on the faculty there. It's a school that a lot of people don't know about, but it was a college in North Carolina that was started by some of the followers of Wallace D. Muhammad. And I happened to be on the first faculty at that school. It was called the AMTC, American Muslim Teachers College. Had their own campus buildings and everything, but it no longer exists. But Brother Abdullah Shabazz was one of my students, and he's out in Las Vegas, Nevada, and hopefully he's tuned in, and maybe he'll call somebody else and have them to tune in and to become regular listeners to the program. I have another sister, too, I'm sending a shout-out to, Sister Purifor from over in Chapel Hill, one of my former customers at my store, who found me and made contact with me and told her about the program, so she's going to tune in. Now, what I want to do first, and I'm just going to hit some places and move on and leave some room for you to go a little further and to look, pull out a map, too, by the way. I want to just mention that. Pull out a map. I want you to pull out a map while I'm talking. Get your map. Want you to take some hints and maybe get more information on your own, because our time is always much, much shorter than our knowledge. We have more knowledge than we have time. So we're going to do the best we can. But what I want you to do, first of all, is to look at the importance of history. And I want to quote Dr. John Henry Clark here from the very beginning. And he said that history should be like a clock that tells time, or it should be like a compass that gives you direction. It lets you know when you're going north, or when you're going south, when you're going east, or when you're going west. The compass lets you know, so that you'll know that you're in the right direction. And the time lets you know whether or not you're on time with your opinions, with your facts, with your information, with whatever situation you're in. You have to be on time, you see. So history is like a compass. And the reason I mention this is because in the news today, there's a great deal of information about Israel and Palestine, and most of our people know very little about that situation and don't see where it relates to us. And another thing, oftentimes we're at work and on the lunch hour or on a break, and people are talking about it or watching the news, and you have nothing to offer. You don't know what side to be on because you don't have your compass. You're on the side of Israel because America is on the side of Israel, but you really should be on the side of the Palestinian people. as opposed to being on the side of the Israeli people, you see. But because America feeds us mentally through her news media and sources, we follow the path that America gives us through its media. But just to briefly mention, I do want to say to some of the brothers and sisters I've heard in some interviews and some I've spoken with, they don't have any time to listen to the Palestinian brothers and sisters, the original people of that particular part of the planet, Palestine, were black people, and there are black people there right now. Even though the television does not show you them, they are there. Black people just like you and me, and black people from Africa. And also, there is a group of black Americans in Palestine along that Gaza Strip who have been there since the mid-1960s, who were there and had children there and families there and grew up in the Palestinian culture, but they're from Chicago, Illinois. They went there following a brother by the name of Ben Carter, as he was called at that time, a bus driver who claims that he got a revelation from God that he needed to move his people over to Palestine. And after receiving this revelation, he first went to Liberia, but for some reason it didn't work in Liberia, West Africa, and then he moved a little further east and ended up in Palestine. It was finally changed to Ben Ami, A-M-M-I, Ben Ami. But Ben Ami has now gone to the ancestors, but he has followers there right now who are involved in the bombing and with Hamas. And as a matter of fact, just to give you a little bit of information, one of the sisters who fought on the side of the Palestinians, a black woman, served time in jail, was in the army with the Palestinian Liberation Army. And also there's a brother who served about 17 years, who was a follower of Yasser Arafat. But this history, brothers and sisters, and to those tuned into the National African American Empowerment Program, you don't get on your news media. You have to do the research and study. So we're there. Many Africans went there during the time of Mansa Musa, when he took the pilgrimage to Mecca and never came back. African groups from Senegal, from Mali, and from other parts of West Africa went there and have families there. So we are there. It is a part of our struggle. And for anyone, and this is the last point I'll make on this, you can do more research on your own. And for anyone to be against the Palestinians and on the side of Israel, you're out of time. You're on the wrong side of history. You're not following your clock. Because if you are against the Palestinians and on the side of the Israelis when they bomb Hamas, you go against Malcolm X, who met with the Palestinians during his lifetime. You go against Huey Newton and Bobby Seale, who always spoke up for the cause of the Palestinians. You go against Sister Angela Davis, who spoke up for Palestine and who did a program not too long ago with Amy Goodman on a show called Democracy Now, speaking for the Palestinian cause. You go against James Baldwin, who said he would never move to Israel because of the way black people are treated as second-class and third-class citizens in Israel. You go against Muhammad Ali, who met with the Palestinian Liberation Army. So all of our people who are standing up for us, Mr. Farrakhan, various of Malcolm X, who I said before, know that our struggle is very intricately tied to the struggles of the Palestinians as it is tied to the struggles of African people on the continent of Africa. That's just a part of the another part of the African diaspora or the spread of African people around the world. So this is why history is very important. Very, very, very important to know, as Bob Marley says, who you are and where you stand in the struggle. Now, and in preparing this discussion, it reminds me of an analogy of a lion in the arena under the big top. Now, a lion is trained to do certain tricks. A lion is made tame also, T-A-M-E, to do certain tricks. He's trained and tamed to do certain tricks for the lion tamer. This is the same way that we have been treated as people. When the lion tamer says, up Leo and down Leo, the lion goes up or the lion comes down. When they produce a fiery hoop that caused the lion to jump through the fiery hoop, and everything the lion tamer says for the lion to do, or packs his whip for the lion to move, then that's what happens. And this is what has happened to us as a people when we don't know who we are. When you don't know who you are, you dance to the tune of the lion tamer, and you dance to the tune of white America, and you do everything that they want you to do. And the reason is because you don't know your history and you don't know who you are. An example, the lion is taught to be that way as a cub. They can't take the old lion, the one who's been around the block a few times and who knows himself. They can't take him, but they take the little kitten or the cub and beat that cub with a chair, with a gun, with a stick, and put fear in that little cub. And when that cub grows up to be a 300 or 400 pound lion, the lion tamer can step into the arena and get that lion, and actually cub mentally, to do anything he wants him to do because he has trained him. And this, brothers and sisters, is what has happened to us as a people. We have been trained to dance to the music that the slave master plays. We've been trained to jump at the crack of the whip when the slave master cracks that whip. We've been trained to jump through the fiery hoop in the same way that the lion does because we don't know who we are. We think we're kittens. We think we're cubs. And this goes right very smoothly into my discussion on what is going on in Africa right now that you get very little about in the Western media. And that is that somebody or something or something got in touch with African people and they are beginning to wake up now. And I'm going to give you some examples of this. And I was shocked when I found out some things that are going on because I, for the most part, like most of us, you know, listen to the Western media, CNN and ABC and CBS, and that's all we hear. But I want you, first of all, to understand that Africa, like that lion, is a powerful continent, a powerful continent. The reason I ask you all to grab a map and to follow us today and listen while you're in this class is because I'm going to give you some information. First of all, we have been taught that Africa is very small and very poor and poverty-stricken and debilitating. It has nothing going for itself. But there's a reason for that. When we look at Africa, that great big continent, and it is a continent, not a country. Sometimes I hear people say the country of Africa or countries, Africa is a country, that kind of thing. But Africa is the second largest continent on the face of the earth. I know most of y'all who are tuned into this program know this, but some may not. I'm going over it again, as Brother Marvin told me too, because you're learning and you're picking up facts and information, and you can share it with other people. Second only to the continent of Asia, Africa covers 12 million square miles. 12 million square miles. And to just give you an example, if you think this country is big, the country of the United States of America can fit into the continent of Africa because Africa itself has 52 countries. I repeat, Africa is a continent with 52 countries. The United States would be able to fit into Africa 3.5 to 4 times to give you an idea of how big the continent of Africa is. Power, power, a lion itself is waking up. And it says in the scriptures, there's a lion asleep in Judah who will wake him. And when this lion begins to wake up that we were talking about in the arena, or when this lion in America called the black man and black woman began to wake up, or when this lion in Africa stands up, then the world is going to shake and shudder and shimmy at the roar that this Africa is going to bring, because that's what this lion is going to bring, because that's what's happening. That's what's happening right now. To continue, if we take a look at the United Nations General Assembly, which met about a month ago in September, African nations were represented, and the president of South Africa spoke there. President Cyril Ramaphosa spoke at the UN General Assembly in 2023, September, about a month ago. And he made this statement. He says that several Western countries base their wealth on resources from African soil. He says this will not, listen to what he said now, this has never been done before. He says this will not continue because the time the Southern Hemisphere used to develop the Northern Hemisphere is over. I repeat, he says the time that the Southern Hemisphere, meaning Africa and her 52 countries and her 72 degrees of latitude, big as it is, her 12 million square miles, he said the time is up that Africa will help to develop the Northern Hemisphere is over. He says African resources are exclusively dominant and absolute property of African people. Now, I want you to listen to this. Some of this may not sound, this was shocking when Ramaphosa did this, the president of South Africa. He said these resources are ours exclusively and absolute property that belongs to African people. He said African leaders were hesitant. Now, I'm saying this. African leaders were hesitant to say this because they feared being too bold against the West. They feared repercussions, and they worried about what would happen. But when you look at the fact that Dubai in Arabia, the United Kingdom, and the United States is where all the resources of Africa go. Africa is a poor continent because it's being robbed by Western powers of the United States of America and by Europe, but people on the continent are waking up today. As an example, Jacques Chirac in 2008, who was the president of France at that time, he made the statement. He said that without Africa, France would slide down and become a third world country. Without Africa, he said, France would slide down and become a third world country. Just to give an example, I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself because I'm going to talk about some other specifics here that's in the news today that we don't hear about. And that is, but just to give you an example, uranium from the continent of Africa provides 70% of the energy for light in France. And Africans themselves almost have no electricity. But the energy for France comes from Africa, so France can have electricity. But Africa, people are in the dark. Something is wrong with this picture. And people are beginning to speak up. Somebody got to the lion, and he's beginning to speak up. Another example, and I'll talk more about that later. Another example is that the Ivory Coast and Ghana produce 60% of the world's cocoa. 60% of the world's cocoa bean supply comes from the Ivory Coast and Ghana in West Africa. And most of the profits from this goes to Switzerland and to Europe. Now, can you imagine without the cocoa of Ghana and the Ivory Coast, what Hershey would do, what would Nestle's do,
what the Mars Candy Company do without the cocoa from the Ivory Coast in Ghana? But these resources are being taken advantage of by Europe, and Africa gets nothing. Ramaphosa also went on to say that he said that he also spoke at the Russian African Summit, and he said the Russian at the Russian African Summit, he said that the African people are not trading in one slave master for another. He says, I'm here at the Russian African Summit to speak for Africa and to speak to Russia about having some mutually beneficial relationship with Russia to cause Africa to develop. He said, but we're not trading in one master for another, meaning we're not trading in the United States for a Russian slave master. So the brother is talking strong, and black people are waking up. He says that African resources have been seen as an extension to Western assets, permitting them to dictate the terms of doing business in Africa. You see, when African resources are taken by Europe and America, they not only take the resources, but they dictate the terms. Now, here it is that you have the resources, but somebody's going to dictate the terms upon which you serve your resources or the policies that you're going to have representing you. He says that Africans are expressing full sovereignty now and no longer should it be considered as subservient to Europe. And Ramaphosa said that the West can no longer quantify wealth by how many resources are under African soil. He says it's the same way that slavery was used. And you all remember who understand the history of slavery in America. The slave master always calculated his wealth depending upon the number of slaves that he had on his plantation. Ramaphosa says that Europe has always calculated her economic success based upon the resources of Africa. He says it's all over. This is true. We're not doing it anymore. So, now, that was a general conversation at the U.S. General Assembly, but now to very briefly go into something more specific, the countries, and I want some of y'all might want to write these down and find more information on your own, the countries of Guinea, Niger, Mali, Gabon, and Burkina Faso, and I'll repeat them again, I did like Brother Marvin, did a little fast. But the countries of Guinea, G-U-I-N-E-A, in West Africa, the country of Guinea, G-U-I-N-E-A, the country of Niger, N-I-G-E-R, the country of Mali, M-A-L-I, the country of Gabon, G-A-B-O-N, and the country of Burkina Faso, B-U-R, K-I-N-A. I'm doing this so some of y'all can go and look into some research on your computer and find out the same thing I'm telling you, it's true. Burkina, B-U-R-K-I-N-A, and last name Faso, F-A-S-O. These five countries have just kicked the French out of their countries. These countries were colonized, which I'll talk about in a minute, by the French. The French have been their masters for since 1884 at the time of the Berlin Conference. But these African leaders have kicked the French out of their countries. And as an example, it has spread further than the countries I'm talking about. But even in Algeria, the Algerian people are not even allowing the French to fly in their airspace. They're not even allowing the French to fly in their airspace. These countries have been working the mines and the refineries for the benefit of Europe and are poor. There's no reason any African nation should be poor, and people are waking up to this fact. Now, just to make it clear here, I use that term colony. I want to make it clear here because some of us who are tuned in today might not understand that word colony. Many of you do, I'm sure, but it would just be a repeat for you. But when we talk about the French colonizers or the French colony in Africa, the word colony comes from the word colon. It really should be pronounced colony. The word colony or colony, as we said, now Western Southern accents, the word colony or colony comes from the word colon. And that is in the human body. And the colon is an extension of the large intestine. And similarly, the colony is an extension of an imperialist European nation. And to those who have my book, I'm reading from page 141. You want to check that out. But the colony is an extension of the mother country, which means that whatever you find happening in these African nations that I mentioned, these five, you find the same thing happening in the country of France, because they have made these African people become subservient to them and have made them become Frenchmen and French women, French men and French women. You see, this is what has happened. And the doctrine of France towards its African colonies was one that was called assimilation. Assimilation. And I'll spell that term. You might want to look it up. A-S-S-I-M-I-L-A-T-I-O-N. It's called assimilation. And the doctrine of France towards its African colonies was assimilation. Page 149 of Recapturing the African Mind. Told y'all we're going to school today. Page 149, Recapturing the African Mind, my book, to those who have it. The doctrine of France towards its African colonies was assimilation. The French believed that civilization should be spread by every single person living under French rule. They were desirous of creating a French nation overseas, and overseas France. So France, if you look at it on your map, is north of Africa. And south of Africa, you find these countries that I'm talking about, they are just like France. They are just like France. As a matter of fact, some of the streets in the country of Guinea, in Niger, in Mali, the ones that you wrote down, and Burkina Faso and Gabon, some of those streets were named after French leaders, French white leaders. Some of the boulevards were named after French. Some of the children were given French names. The schools were named after French people. This is assimilation, to make similar. In that word assimilation, you see the word similar, which means the same. Assimilation, to make you assimilate or to become just like me, you see. So they made replicas of African people in what they did in those colonies. But I was just reading just the other day, just to give an example of what's going on, as we said before. In the country of Burkina Faso, they just took down the name of a street named after Charles de Gaulle and changed it into the name of Thomas Sankara Street. Thomas Sankara. That's another name that you ought to look up. Thomas, you can spell Thomas. Sankara, S-A-N-K-A-R-A. Thomas Sankara, S-A-K-A-R-A. Sankara Boulevard is up now in Burkina Faso, as opposed to François Mitterrand, the Frenchman leader, you see. So they're beginning to change, because one of the aspects of colonization is to name everything in the colony after the colonizer, and African people are waking up. Now I want to hip it to something else. There's a brand new leader, and it was very refreshing when I found this out myself. There's a brand new leader in Burkina Faso who took over the country by means of a military takeover. The soldiers took over the country. And the new leader in Burkina Faso is a brother by the name of Ibrahim, I-B-R-A-H-I-M, the Arabic form of Abraham. Ibrahim, I-B-R-A-H-I-M, Ibrahim again, I-B-R-A-H-I-M, pardon me. And his last name is Traore, T-R-A-O-R-E, Ibrahim Traore. Now, Ibrahim Traore is the new president or head of state, I should say at this point, of Burkina Faso, one of those countries in West Africa who kicked the French out. He also is only 34 years of age, or 35 now, I believe, the youngest president on the face of the earth of any country. He's taken over the country. And like Thomas Sankara, who I just mentioned, he is saying to black youth in Burkina Faso, black children who are the ages of some of your children, 14, 15 years of age, who go down working into the mines with no shoes on and getting their hands muddy and getting cut and shoveling with almost no tools, the resources for France. He said, this is over. We ain't doing it no more. It's over. We are going to build, France is going to have to pay us for all of the resources, because they, usually the French will buy the resources from Africa very cheaply and then sell them higher on the world market. Ibrahim Traore also said that here we are producing tomatoes. We have the raw materials. We produce tomatoes, but we have to buy tomato paste from France. We produce tomatoes, but we have to buy tomato paste from France. He says, it's got to stop. Traore graduated college, valedictorian of his class, so he's not a dummy. Also, he joined the military and became a very, very, very superior soldier and took over the country. And he's building new schools, health care centers. He's also building roads in Burkina Faso, redeveloping and redesigning the airport. And just recently, this 35-year-old brother from Burkina Faso, if you happen to look at him, and that's another thing, too, you can find him on YouTube. If you can see some of the speeches I'm talking about. He speaks French, but they translate it. But he went to Russia and met with Putin. And when he met with Putin, and he always wears his military uniform, and rather than shake hands with the Russians, he does it kind of like we do it. He balls his fists up and just, you know, fist to fist, rather than shaking hands the Western way. And also, Ibrahim Traore, you can tell, and it's my opinion, that it comes because of access to knowledge and information from the internet and computers. He's also quoting Malcolm X. He's in a French-speaking country now, of Burkina Faso, on the continent of Africa, quoting Malcolm X. He's quoting Martin Luther King, and he's handshaking and giving the dap like the brothers in America do, you see. So people are waking up, brothers and sisters, and to those who are tuned in, and they're beginning to organize. And not only is Burkina Faso doing this, but in Gabon, they arrested the puppet leader, whose name was Ali Bongo, put him under house arrest, arrested his wife, who was stealing from the country, his French wife, his white wife. Ali Bongo is a black man. He's married to a white French woman, because you know how they'll always push that white woman on us, brothers and sisters. They push the white woman on the basketball players, football players, entertain the heads of state. They push the white woman on the black man. So he can't be as strong as he wanted to be. But Ali Bongo is under house arrest right now in Gabon, and his wife is under arrest. His children have been arrested by the new military group that took over in the country of Gabon. And I'm going back to Traore and a speech read by Traore, and because Ali Bongo reminded me of Traore, Traore said, African leaders have to stop being puppets. That's the word he used, puppets for the French. We have to stop dancing like marionettes every time they pull the strings and stand up like men, he said. So they arrested in Gabon, they arrested Ali Bongo. Mali has stood up and kicked the French out. Niger also deposed the puppet, Muslim puppet leader named Mohamed Bazoum, the Muslim leader in Niger, who's a puppet for France, living off the wealth of his people. He's under house arrest now. You see, the military again took over through a military takeover, a coup, as it's called, coup d'etat, took over the country and arrested the leader there. In Guinea, the same thing happened. It has a military leader who has taken over and has kicked the French out and don't want French soldiers in the country. And not only do they not want French soldiers in the country, they also do not want the United States over there, because they say the United, and rightfully so, they see the United States and France as one and the same. And going back to Ibrahim Traore, before I close this lecture down, because I want to hear from some people. I haven't been on in a while, so I want to hear from some of y'all. Ibrahim Traore also went over to North Korea and is negotiating getting some nuclear power from North Korea. So keep your eyes, brothers and sisters, on what's going on in Africa, because you can bet your bottom dollar, as they say, that Macron, I call him Macaroni, or the leader of France, Macaroni, Macron is his name, Macaroni. But anyway, they are going to probably pay some other African military people to depose Ibrahim Traore and to overthrow the government of Burkina Faso. They're going to try to depose the government of Gabon and Mali and Niger by paying some black people to become stool pigeons for France to take over the country. Some stool pigeons who will serve the interests of the colonizer. This is the way it always happens. And you can understand it, brothers and sisters. You've come up poor all your life, and then all of a sudden you're in the military and somebody comes to you, a poor military army person, soldier, and offers you about $40 million to organize the troops and take over power. That's probably what most of them would do if they're not true to their country. If they're not true to the revolution, that's what will happen. But hopefully, Ibrahim Traore and Brother Mamadou in Guinea can stand against the French. It's going to be very difficult, but as a matter of fact, Traore already shut down two coups. There were two different occasions when the military tried to shut his government down, and the brother was able to find out through his intelligence, and they took care of business, you see. So just wanted to say power to the people, want to hear from the people, and hope you got something out of what I had to say, and always remember that the lion is beginning to wake up, and Africa is becoming awakened and beginning to learn and begin to look around now and see all this gold and all these diamonds, all this lithium, all this cobalt, all this uranium. And here I am, barefooted, don't even have a pair of flip-flops. I have nothing. And Europeans and Western power have everything. Something's wrong with that picture. People can only be kept stupid and backward and ignorant for so long. So it's time for us to wake up around the world. Back to you, Brother Marvin and Brother George.
All right.
Hope you got something out of what I had to say.
Thank you, Dr. Bruce. Thank you so much. Very, very informative.
If you are listening today.
Say that again, please, Dr. Bruce.
I was saying, and of course there's much more. I kind of scanned it over some things. People can look up on their own and ask them some questions, but it's very interesting as to what's happening. And just think about it. Most of this I gave you, you don't even hear on the news. And one final point too, Brother Bob, and that is talking about, as Stokely Carmichael used to say, organization. These five countries that I mentioned have organized to the point that they have said that because France is talking about attacking Niger, sending in troops to attack the country of Niger. And Traore said, if you attack Niger, you're also going to have to attack Burkina Faso. And Gabon has said, you're going to have to attack us. And Guinea has said, you have to attack all of us, you see. And another situation, I can say there's so much, they're beginning to get rid of the European system of currency and try to get one currency in Africa, which will also upset the whole world system of economy and markets, which is what Muammar Gaddafi was trying to do also before he was deposed and killed a few years back. So They're trying to even change the money, get their own money, get their own money, get these names of white folks down, change the street name, control their own resources, and it's time for that. Okay, Brother Martin, I'm through.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. Powerful lesson and lecture, right? Go do your research now, right? So the best way to know is to research. The best way to understand is to study, right? You know, and the word says study to show yourself approved. So go out there and do the research and check out Dr. Bruce's facts, right? All right. Before we get, we're at the top of the hour, 845-277-9250 is the call-in line if you want to get in and talk to Dr. Bruce directly. Or you can hit us up on Slido at slido.com 5726624. And I want to go to Slido real quick because this came in early from, it says Queen. Sister Queen, dysfunction, this is for you, Dr. Bruce. Dysfunction has been normalized as Black American culture. Dysfunction has been normalized as Black American culture. Here's the question. How can we encourage our people in a way that when they see no value in themselves or each other? How can we encourage our people in a way when they see no value in themselves or each other? How do we do that, Dr. Bruce? How do we encourage our people when they don't see it?
The best way to encourage them is like I was trying to do today, and that is begin to teach them. And when they see no value in themselves and you start to teach them, and I think about, I don't know how this stuff, it just keeps coming to me. As Malcolm said, history is best qualified to reward our research. He says when you start talking about great kingdoms of Africa, you can talk about kingdoms all day long, Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Sankore, the kingdoms of Burkina, of Monomotapa in southern Africa, kingdoms. So the way to bring value to a person is to show them that they have some worth on the world scene. Show them their value by teaching them their history. Because one reason they feel like they have no value is because of what they see on television. All they see is we're playing basketball, we're singing, we're dancing. That's all. But how much of the history of us designing the whole system of nobility in England and Scotland and Ireland and France and Germany and setting up those systems of government, which we did, which is another thing we'll talk about a little later. But this gives value to a person when you can show them that they have made some contributions on the world scene. Show them that their people have done something. And oftentimes, you don't have to go too far back into history. You can just take them back into a little Black American history, maybe back to the 60s with Dr. King and Malcolm and the Panther Party. Even talk to them about Black inventors and about the fact that they are on the cell phone, that the cell phone, the idea came from a Black American, or that when they have the heat in the wintertime, that the heat came from a black woman, and that the whole idea of a call forwarding and call waiting, a sister named Shirley Jackson came up with that idea. So show them their wealth in some other ways other than physicalities like basketball and football and dancing and singing. Show them what they've done that comes out of their mind and that will let them know that they can do something as a person, you see. So when you say this, hey, this is you, this is your people. Your daddy did this. Your granddaddy did this. Your great-grandfather did this. You got a clock now on your cell phone or your cell phone that, and the materials inside the cell phone came from Africa, from down in the Congo region of Africa, and the cell phone time changes to 3:04 as it is right now automatically. But before people used cell phones, they had something called a watch, and that watch was Benjamin Banneker, the first clock in this country. And the hand used to move around that clock when we had watches, just like the earth moving around the sun. And that's how we came up with time, understanding that the earth goes through 24 lines of longitude around the earth, and that 24 hours in the day. Benjamin Banneker, your ancestor, understood all this. Get them excited, you see. And that will bring worth and value, I think, to a person. Okay. Brother Marvin, let's take another one.
Thank you, Dr. Bruce. Absolutely. Go out and share, right? Educate our people. All right, let's go to the lines. We're going over to 252-5347. 5347. Welcome to the show. Do you have a question or comment for Dr. Bruce? 5347. Welcome.
Hey, brothers, how y'all doing, man? Great show today. My brother Marvin.
Hey, brother Rage.
Brother Brew. Hey, how you doing, fellas? My comment and statement is I like what Brother Booker said earlier about informing us, man, that God makes a God. And I think that's one of the most profound things that we need to exemplify to our people. If we can just get them there, that would be a great launching pad for us to know, because so often that we try to do all these other things for our people, and still it don't seem to resonate. So that was really profound what he said, and as Brother Bruce was just saying then, giving them that self-worth and giving them all this new knowledge, teaching them Bruce, what was that you first started off when you said the knowledge came from about the time and the, and the direction?
Dr. Clark, Dr. John Henry Clark,
Dr. Clark, Dr. John Henry Clark, right. My mind, you know how I do. But anyway, the several simple points that we just need to get invested in our people, such as I'm trying to get ready to do a lecture series, and Brother Marvin, I have still not forgotten you coming down doing this podcast with us, man. Been doing so much other work in getting us together as defining a good black agenda in our communities, mm-hmm. and just simplifying things. So making long story short, it's like Bruce saying and Brother Booker saying, getting that sense of direction and identifying itself. So, brothers, you know, keep doing what you're doing, because I'm really impressed, and I'm really thankful for what you guys are doing. And I'm spreading the word about you guys and what you're doing still. So thank you, and I appreciate allowing me to just have that comment there. So keep up the good work, brothers. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Brother Bridge. And we are looking forward to Empowerment Saturday Live down in New Bern. And we also like to shout out to Fourth Baptist Church in Richmond for having us to do a live show last Saturday here in Richmond. So thank you for the Fourth Baptist family for having us to do Empowerment Saturday Live in front of a live audience. So thank you. Let's go back to the lines, brother. Thank you again, Brother Ridge. We're going over to 919-1572. Oh, that's down your way, Dr. Bruce. 919-1572. You're live. Do you have a question or comment for Dr. Bruce? Oh, I think we might have lost him. Let's go on over to 540-7239. 540-7239. Do you have a question or comment? 7239. All right, maybe they're just listening. Let's go down to 334-0148. You're live. Do you have a question or comment for Dr. Bruce? All right, let's go on down again. We're going down to 919. Down your way again, Dr. Bruce. 8022. You're live. Do you have a question or comment for Dr. Bruce? 919-8022.
No question or comment.
All right. Thank you for joining us.
I'm glad she's still joining. That sister, I'm pretty good, Brother Marvin, on voices. I'm glad she's still joining us. We have to talk, sister. I'm glad you still listen to the program.
You are welcome.
Hope you got something out of it.
Indeed, I did. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. All right. Let's slide on over to Slido. Slido.com, right? Some people don't like to talk, so you can type, right? Here's a question for you. Please share with your listeners why this information is so important to African Americans.
Okay. Very good question. It's important because we are one of each other's blood and one of each other's flesh wherever we are in the womb. Our struggles should be united. And also, it's important because it helps us to understand what we're going through in this country and to see that all around the world, not just in our little towns, our little cities and states in the United States, where black people are second-class and third-class citizens, but it's the same all around the world. Even when we are in charge on our own continent, like Africa, the same thing is going on. So it helps us to see that we have to stand up as one unit because we're all in this thing together. And it becomes very clear to me the way that we're treated. Think about it. I talked about assimilation in the French colonies of Africa, but look at America. Look at how we were assimilated. Many of us, as Brother Red said earlier, we're on the side of Israel because America's on the side of Israel. We walk, talk, dress, think, eat, speak, do everything like white Americans do because they taught us, they trained us, they tamed us, they trained us, they tamed us, and made us cubs as opposed to being lions. So it's the same process everywhere we go. Okay, back to you, Brother Marvin.
All right, thank you. Let's go back to the line. 9282. 9282, going over to you, Brother Booker. What do you have? You have a question or comment for Dr. Bruce?
Yes, sir. Peace, my brother, Dr. Bruce. How you doing today, sir?
All right, my brother. Hope I sounded like I'm doing all right, Brother Booker.
Yes, sir. I just want to add that, you know, it's just, one, brother, it's good to hear your voice again. I hadn't heard you in a while, so thanks for being with us today. Really appreciate you, brother, your knowledge and taking the time to do what you do because that's key, that we got people like yourself that's willing to stand up and for what you know is right and try to uplift and lift our people up. So truly appreciate that, my brother. And I just want to add, I was having a conversation along these lines with some folk the other day about the brother was trying to tell me don't deny my successes in my life. He said, you've achieved some things, you know, hold fast to those things. You were the first black journalist in the Navy to be the editor of the largest newspaper. You were the first second black to go to film writing school. You were the first black man to be a director at the number one housing authority in the world. And I said, brother, I didn't achieve anything. I haven't achieved anything in my life because to me, until my people are free, I haven't achieved anything. I cannot look at so-called individual successes in this society. It's like you were saying, Dr. Bruce, about I can pay another nigga $44 million to have him overthrow the brother in Africa and get us to start picking each other off like that, and we call those $44 million successes. Those dollars. We call it what I haven't achieved anything because my people aren't free. That's what we're working for. That's what we're striving for. I'm not striving to be wealthy financially. I'm striving for the freedom of my people, and we have not seen that in my lifetime in this world in which we live. And that's what our goal should be, achieving the freedom for our people before we leave here. If not, what else are we living for? That's all I want to say, brother. And reiterating what the brother called and said, if I'm God and I'm reproducing something, what am I reproducing other than myself? And if we say we God's children, then if I'm God and I'm reproducing children, my children have the same greatness that's in me. Oh, I'm not God. That's it, brother. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. Thank you, Brother Booker. Got a good comment from Brother Ridge. Good compliment there. Thank you. Appreciate the work. All right. So as we continue to think, let's dig deeper, right, if you don't mind, Dr. Bruce, because I want to go back to one of the questions in Slido, right, and thinking about the importance of this information and this conversation, right, because we could just kind of let it go by and kind of like just absorb some information, but I'm talking about the importance, right, of our people over here. We're specifically talking about African Americans, right? People of color in this country. Why is this information coming from Africa and coming from other countries, even the islands? Why the brothers and sisters? Why is learning more about what they're going through important to us?
Because it's the same thing that we're going through. The same exact thing we're going through.
You still there, Brother Mark?
Yeah. I just wanted to elaborate on that just a little bit in terms of the importance of us getting that information.
Yeah, it's the same thing that we're going through, and also, it is, as I said before, it really should cause us to fuel ourselves and to move our struggles up to another level in seeing what's happened to our people in other parts of the world. It lets us know that we need to step on it a little bit and do some of the same kinds of things. Talk about being independent and talk about pulling away from the system and having things on our own, as the brothers and sisters are talking about doing in Africa, because we have the same kind of power. If you look at the economic power, I was looking at something the other day, Brother Marvin, of wealthy black people, and it was just talking about all the cars, and you know how they do, talk about all the cars that they have, and going to his two yachts and those kinds of things. That's why what Brother Booker said just a few minutes ago is very important. But those, we look at the wrong things, I think, as being signs of wealth. Is a person just wealthy because they have two yachts and three airplanes and 10 cars and have no knowledge, no information, don't know what's going on in the world, and being still used by other people who allowed them to get these things? Do you really have anything, or should wealth be redefined by looking at what people have struggled to do in terms of taking back their own identity, their own substance, and taking back who they are and standing up as a person? Muhammad Ali was a good example of how a person can have so many things of a material nature, but at the same time stand for something. And he's in history now, not so much for the fights that he won, but because of the fight that he won standing up against the United States government of America. This is what made him great. And we need to redefine his greatness. And the only way we can do it is to look at it and to begin to look at it as other people see it in other parts of the world, as opposed to the materialism of this country.
That's understood. Great point. Let's move back over to Slido, Dr. Bruce. All right, here's the next question. Please suggest some ways that we can connect with our brothers and sisters on the continent. What are some ways that our people can begin to make those connections, in your opinion?
I guess the best thing probably is there are groups and organizations on the African continent who reach out on the computer. I have some of those addresses myself, and maybe one week, Brother Marvin, I'll do that. As a matter of fact, I've been planning on, after seeing what Brother has done over in Burkina Faso, I have been thinking about getting a copy of my book to him, because I have a whole section in my book on Burkina Faso, his country, and French colonialism in that country and what happened, because evidently, as I said earlier, he's been reading and understanding and learning some of these things and is open to it. So these are some of the kinds of things that we, you know, need to do by, you know, going to the computer and maybe find out how to get in touch with some people and maybe some organizations in this country, you know, have connections with people on the continent of Africa, like TransAfrica and people like Brother Ron Walters in Washington, D.C. He has connections with Africa and takes people back and those kinds of things. So we have certain governmental agencies that people can go to make some pretty good connections, I think. Just do a little research is the best way.
Okay. Well, of course, right, for you listening here today, 845-277-9250, excuse me, or slido.com. The number today is 572-6624, where you can have a question. So we'll go to the next question on Slido. Dr. Bruce, what does freedom look like for us? What does freedom look like for us as we envision? I know you mentioned earlier, you know, being able to have resources and things, but what would that look like for African Americans in this country, in your opinion?
In my opinion, I think when we can achieve and receive the dignity that we deserve as a people due to our struggles and what we've been through, when we can achieve that and be respected as all other people on the face of the earth, then that will make a big difference. We begin to even take a stand like the brother. I tried to think of his name earlier,
who made a stand against the Israeli bombing of Hamas. You probably know what I'm talking about. He does. He's on television talk show. I can't think of his brother's name right now. But anyway, he took a stand, and they sat him down for it. But these are some of the things that have to happen in order for us to be free and to make a statement to this country. As long as we continue to go along with the status quo, we will never get it. And most of us think that the status quo is the correct way. When we stop doing things like bombing Muammar Gaddafi, who was bombed under the leadership of Barack Obama, when we stop making statements that Kamala Harris makes sometimes that are negative statements, and they actually don't know what they're saying, we'll never receive it. We'll never receive that kind of respect until we begin to learn and study and know what side to be on and to stand up as a people and be righteous in our cause. That's the only thing that's going to happen when we begin to take a stand.
I agree.
Against it. Yeah.
I most certainly agree. I think when you kind of talk about standing against what many of our people know, I think some of them just get afraid, right? Because that's not normal.
You're right. They're afraid. It's not normal to do that. And you know, you remind them of something too. This is what shot the United Nations General Assembly when Cyril Ramaphosa of South Africa stood up and said the things he said. It has never happened before. And he shocked the world, like you said. We're not used to doing it. When Traore, 35 years old, took over the country and said, Macron, you're out of here. We want your troops out. We don't want your airplanes. We don't want your soldiers. We don't want anything of yours. We're giving you your name. We're giving you your name back. We don't even want your country called what you call it. We're going to change the name of our country from a French name to our own. When you start giving them back their stuff and standing up on your own and saying we're going to be in charge of our resources and we're going to make decisions on how much you're going to buy this gold for, how much you're going to buy this uranium for, and we get our price or we don't, and you know you can't survive without us. So, like you said, Brother Mark, we have to begin to take a stand on some of those things. If not, we'll never be anything. If we're so easily bought off, and so, you know, buy us off for a nickel, and it's over, you know?
You know, when you have poverty and dysfunction, it's easy to pay people who have been poor to give them a come up.
That's what I'm saying.
Now
that's
people
right,
will readily
right.
take it. That's truly selling out. All right. Dr. Bruce, I do want to say a couple of things before we go back to Slido. I want to, one, again, welcome you back to the show. We missed you. Your knowledge and your wealth of information. You threw Scotland and England out there. I'm like, wow, Dr. Bruce is going deep. So as we continue to you know, work our vein, if you will, of knowledge that you continue to share with us, let's continue to see how we can collaborate. We want to do some workshops and some trainings and some sessions where we can do on Zoom, or we can come together live here in different cities to do those empowerment workshops. So I wanted to say thank you for that, but also to give our listeners your information if they want to purchase your book, Recapture the African Mind, before we go to the next question on Slido.
Okay. If they'd like to get a copy of it, they could just give me a call at area code 919-641-0288. I repeat, 919-641-0288, and I'd be glad to talk to them and to send them a copy of my book, Recapturing African Mind, because I hadn't looked at it in a while. So when I saw what was going on over in Africa, I said, hey, this is what I've been talking about all the time, recapturing the African mind. And that's what they're doing. They're recapturing their resources, because that's why their minds were taken from the beginning in Africa, as I talk about in my book, so that the powers of Europe could get the resources. So now they're taking their minds back. They're going to hold on to their resources. You see, it all comes down to what's happening upstairs in your head. It all comes down to that, what's going on in your head. If nothing is going on upstairs, then people will take advantage of you and your resources, and that's what was happening in Africa, and that's what happens in America even today. That's why when people talk against the rappers and the rappers who and people who do things like Prince and Jay-Z, I don't agree with everything they do. But one thing I can say, they did begin to pull away from a lot of those white record producers and manufacturers and want to do things on their own and just don't go for the stuff that the Temptations and the Four Tops and Otis Redding and some of those entertainers. Jackie Wilson died broke with almost nothing, unmarked grave. These young people nowadays, they're not going for it. Regardless of the way they wear their hair, I don't care how many tattoos they have. I don't care how low they wear their pants. But they are beginning to be self-determining. And that is what's very, very important. Self-determination. And that's what's happening. We can't get away from it. That's what I talked about today. That's what Africans are doing. They are trying to become a self-determining people on their own land, you see. So thanks, Brother Martin, for having me back. Glad you all, I guess my people didn't call in from Las Vegas. I was wanting to hear from my brother in Las Vegas and my brother in Canada. What's a nice day today? Maybe people are out doing things.
Well, you got us, and that's all that matters. We're going back to Slido real quick. It says, I just want to say that Dr. Bruce is a wealth of information. I love when he is on the show, and I wish he had kept talking. So that tells you something right there. Keep on talking to Dr. Bruce as we close out for this week.
You didn't make that one up, Brother Marvin. To kind of
no, I did not. It's from JP.
What'd you say?
I'll send you a picture from JP. Yeah, I said this message is from JP.
Okay, I don't know who that might be. But anyway, that's good. That's good to hear. I said Brother Marvin did that himself just to keep me.
That ain't me this time. People want to hear what you got to say, Dr. Bruce. It's Dr. Bruce Speaks. We've listened to Dr. Bruce live. He's given us some information. Now we're going to ask for final comments as we wrap up for today on African American Empowerment Saturday. Thank you for joining us. Dr. Bruce, final comment, sir.
My only comment is, as Huey P. Newton said back in the 60s, all power to the people.
All power to the people. Now, let's all think about before we get off of this week, right? Dr. Bruce in with all power to the people. Brother Booker talked about how that power is in you. Right? And how we continue to work on developing ourselves, right? As we continue to educate our people, you have to start with educating yourself, right? And building the confidence in yourself to know just who you are, right? And that you're not acting out of what it is that you've learned and what you know. You're not puppeted, but you're actually thinking for yourself. And if we can begin to teach our young people and even ourselves as adults, to think for ourselves, to emote for ourselves, to unlearn some things and relearn some things that are more productive for us. We have to be able to take the reins, like Dr. Bruce described today, as our African brothers and sisters are now saying. We want to have nations and countries and be effective at managing them ourselves. We are a nation without a nation, right? We have the Nation of Islam, and there's an excellent effort, right, to produce nationhood and concepts that work, but we have to be able to be in a position where we're building now, that we're producers now, that we're developing now, and that we're participating on a global scale, participating in a global market, able to share our views and values that can impact the world and the governance of it. So as we stand up today, as we rise back up, as we come back up to a place where we are now recognized as a positive part of humanity and society, I dare say to you today, continue to do that work, right? Look at yourself, examine your ways, examine your philosophies, and continue to grow and become the best person that you can be. It is all about African-American empowerment. If you just think about what we've gone through and where we are now, it's a very good reason to just smile and celebrate. Now, it's not perfect, but again, we are far from where we used to be, and that's something to celebrate. It's African American Empowerment, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. We had Dr. Bruce today on the show. Next week, we got Brother Hassan coming through to visit us. Join us as we continue to educate, empower, motivate, and inspire our people to become the best that they can be 365 days of education, motivation, environment for you and me. And that's all we need to do. Until next week, brothers and sisters, peace and blessings. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We still here. Peace.